We come to our last presentation today, and again, we have multiple speakers. Well, we have two speakers to conclude, and they are John W. McBride from the School of Engineering Sciences at Southampton University in the UK, and your very own Lars Gaustad of Norway's National Library, who are going to talk about the audio recovery and identification of the very first Norwegian sound recording. John and Lars.
Okay, good afternoon. My apologies for the delay there. We now have the correct computer. So my name is John McBride. I'm the second author on the paper here. My colleague, Peter Boltrick, is the person who really put these slides together in collaboration with Lars, who's the second speaker. Just for information, we will post the slides to the ePrints website at the University of Southampton. So if anybody's interested in seeing the slides afterwards, please go to that website and you can get all of the slides. So just a brief overview. I'm going to start with a very brief description of the artifact we were looking at. Then I'm going to go into some technical background. And then finally, Lars will give a much more detailed forensic investigation of the particular artifact we were looking at. So this is the, I don't have a pointer, but I think you can see pretty much what this is. It's a piece of tin foil recording, which, as I said, Lars will give you the technical details of this, but it was recorded on the 5th of February, 1879, actually on the site of this theatre. But as I said, Lars will give the information. It was, for a very long time, just posted on, basically stuck onto a piece of paper. And obviously in Norwegian, there's a description of the artifact. This now actually relates directly to some of the research we conducted at the University of Southampton. During the period 2005 to 2009, we had a fairly substantial research grant funded by an engineering research council to look at some of the optical methods for non-context scanning for audio recovery from some of these very early sound recordings. Towards the end of that project, we were approached by the British Library Sound Archive, who were collaborators on the project, to scan Edison tin foil from the same period of the sample that we're going to see today. That was completed, and in fact, that information, there's a podcast, I think, on the British Library website, or there was, I hope it's still there, where you can hear the sound from that particular artifact. In 2009, we were then approached by the Norwegian Museum of Science and Technology and the National Library of Norway, and we were commissioned to look at the artifact that we're going to present today. Before I look at some of the technological background, this is a bit more information on the artifact. Clearly, the artifact was glued basically onto a piece of paper, and that's really shown on the top right. I don't have a pointer, but I think you can see that on the image on the top right, where part of the surface is damaged, where it's been basically pressed onto the paper. Clearly, some of the tin foil is a very fragile medium. There's tears across some of the grooves. But you can clearly see audio. I have a close-up in the next slide, actually, so you can see that in more detail. So we'll look to that shortly. But the piece of tin foil is basically 132 by 140 millimetres. We are unsure of the diameter of the drum that this was recorded on, and we'll come to that later. What was very clear is that the groove pitch is actually much, much less than the groove pitch we saw on the British Library Sound Archive artifact. So here the groove pitch is roughly 1 millimetre between the grooves compared to 3 millimetre on the British Library Sound Archive tinfoil. The tinfoil contains 6 distinct tracks, which we'll look at later. And if we now just go and look at the close-up of this, I hope you can see this, but again, I don't have the pointer, but towards the right of this, you can see clearly where there are regions where you can see the vertical indentation corresponding to the sound recording. And of course, you can see the tear in the artifact across the top right. So I'm just going to take a step back and talk about some of the technology we've been involved with. As I said, this started from a research project that we had funded by the EPSRC in the UK. As a result of that process, we developed scanning systems to basically work on the preservation of some very early sound, mechanical sound recordings, and then also to look at the digitization of the sound from those recordings. It was supported by the British Library Sound Archive, by a spin-out company in the UK called Tycan Technologies, and actually in collaboration with the work of Carl Haber, which some of you may have heard. He's based at the Lawrence Berkeley Lab in the USA. We gave a general presentation of the technical aspects of the work at JTS in 2007. And really, as a result of the work, we've developed two systems, basically a cylinder scanner and a flat disk scanner. And it's the flat disk scanner that we're using in this presentation. At the bottom here, we've actually recently commercialized the cylinder scanner. That's basically an optical scanner, and that's available through Tycan Technologies. So if anybody's interested in that, you can either email me or look to the company website and find the information there. This is some of the other work that we're involved with. Actually, a good place to look at the work where you can hear the sound recordings, you can look at the technical methods that we've used, is the website, which is on the top there. Again, these slides will be posted to the internet, so you can get that through the internet. And here are two current studies. In fact, the one on the left relates to the previous speaker to some extent. The one on the left was a 5-inch Berliner, which was loaned to us by the EMI archive in London. It's actually one of the very first Berliner discs. That's a 5-inch disc, and that's the master. So actually we're in the process of, in fact, we've scanned the master. We haven't yet produced the sound from that, but that will follow in due course. The one on the right is quite a famous recording, almost certainly thought to be the voice of Queen Victoria. I think I reported on that at the JTS in Toronto 3 years ago. That's still ongoing work, in fact. So we have the voice, but we're still unable to determine the content, the vocal content exactly. So that will hopefully be aired in public sometime in the near future. So actually, I was interested in some of the talks. I'm not an archivist, I'm an engineer, so I thought I'd put this slide in. I saw some interesting talks yesterday, because this is actually the work I do. I'm not a sound archivist, but what I do is I look at structured surfaces, and I'm particularly interested in the optical methods for characterizing structured surfaces. So that's the link. And I thought I'd show you these two surfaces. The one on the left is a new type of technique that's used using an electron beam to structure metallic surfaces. And these are going to be used on all kinds of things, from jet engines to possibly on aerodynamic and hydrodynamic purposes as well. So these are very small features. The one on the right is actually a shark skin. It's the skin of a shark. These are called denticles, and you can see just by the nature of the surface there, we have a fairly complex surface structure. And as I said, my research is partly involved with the characterization of these surfaces. So I thought I'd put that in. I won't go through these. These are the scientific papers which are in the technical press, in journal publications. I had some technical questions put to me last night, and if you want the technical information, just look at these journal papers. You'll find all of the technical background in that work. So just a very brief overview of the systems. This would have been presented previously. This is a fairly standard cylinder scanner that we've used for looking at cylinders. Basically, we line scan the artifact and then rotate the artifact. And by doing so, we then create a surface which is nominally a flat surface, but with the groove structure shown on the right. We can then use basic mathematical methods to level the surface. And here you see the groove structure in a bit more detail. And then we pass a virtual stylus through the surface, and that's shown as the black line in the center of that image on the right, and from that information we can generate the sound. And that's the kind of information you end up with. The bottom line is basically the sound profile from the artifact. The system that we've used for the, so coming back to the what we're talking about today, coming back to the air bearing system, which is basically a flat disk scanner, where you have a very high precision stage, which is, you can see there's a 78 recording on the stage there. That whole system is floating on a bed of air. The whole stage can move very rapidly, and the sensor in this particular case is the thing with the little yellow sticker on the side of it. That's a laser. And then we basically move the artifact underneath the sensor, and from that, again, we can generate the three-dimensional map, and from the three-dimensional map, we can then generate the sound. Okay, I'll jump this. So here you see the tinfoil that we're talking about today, mounted on the air bearing. On the left, you can see the larger picture, and on the right, you can see pretty much the same image I showed previously with the part of the sensor looking down onto the surface. So this is what the overall map of the surface looks like. Clearly, you can't see any groove structure in that because actually the groove structure is hidden by the vertical deformation of the surface. So this is kind of a preview scan. It gives you the gross deformation of the surface. From that, actually what we can do is just use a fairly simple mathematical technique, basically looking at the gradient of the surface, and then you get the image on the right. So you can see straight away we can see the groove structure of the artifact, and you can see the multiple recordings because you can see one track on the left and then another track in the center. So this is an overall image of the surface once it's been scanned. So the upper surface is the full surface. The lower surface is then the gradient map, where you can see the groove structures. And I think here you can, again, very clearly see the multiple tracks. We then use basic software tools to track the artifact, and you can see a crosshair. In this image, basically, we just follow the track through, and then basically we look at the depth information of the image, bearing in mind this is three-dimensional data, and from the depth information, we generate the sound. Now, the actual algorithm used here is actually much more advanced than just looking at the displacement, because actually the displacement track was not terribly terribly good. So Peter Baltrick, who did this work, actually developed an algorithm, which is referred to on the third bullet point there, using a correlation method between consecutive groove cross-sections, and from that you will get the sound that we will hear later. This is what the audio track looks like. That's obviously a spectrogram on the bottom. I'm now going to hand over to Lars shortly, but these are the description of what I think is on the recording. Okay, I'm going to leave that slide and pass over to Lars.
Thank you.
Are you presenting here?
No.
Are you presenting from this computer?
No, I'll just pull it out. It's okay, so it's there.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah? So the artifact in question states that on the recording was Peter Deeset singing a hymn. And browsing. Browsing the digitized newspaper collection at the National Library, I was in fact able. Yeah, there. That's okay. To establish by finding this ad that on the 5th of February, on this very lot where there was an entertainment center, there was a demonstration of the phonograph. But it was, however, not the first mentioning of the phonograph in the newspapers in Norway. In Aftenposten on the 21st of January 1878, there was a detailed description of the phonograph and the technology behind it. On 9/11, 1878, there was this note in Aftenposten which says, "We have heard rumors that there is a phonograph in Christiania," which was the name of Oslo by then. "Please put this most wonderful invention up for display for a greater audience to witness this marvel of modern science." And it's signed on behalf of many. So, listening to the sound extracts from RIFI in Southampton with press and television coverage in June last year revealed that although there was identifiable sounds extracted, it was not someone singing a hymn, which shouldn't have come as a surprise as... where are you? There you are. As the longest audio track is only 7.5 seconds long. We were, however, excited that there were definite sounds of something. So the question then became, not being what it was supposed to be, what was it? And an inspection of the artifact revealed that the foil had been cut in the vertical direction, so we had to try and search for the original size and then deduct a possible replay speed. So consulting with René Rondeau, which some of you may know, who's a specialist on tin-foil phonographs, didn't actually make things easier, because even though Edison-speaking phonograph company leased and sold phonographs of different styles and varying mandrel sizes, even in the USA, in Europe we were pirating the technology and building machines of all sizes ourselves. And René has European phonographs with mandrel sizes in the varying from 70 to 150 millimeters. But he also states that exhibitors regularly cut the foils and sold them to the audience. So what I then did was matching it up to the size and speed of the British Library foil, which meant it would have been a 24.5% slowdown of replay speed, which would have made this even more unintelligible. And at least the male voice track of it. So the search for confirmation of a demonstration of the phonograph revealed that the phonograph was demonstrated both before and after the date of the Tivoli demonstration, the whole week before and some days after it was demonstrated at the Hotel Royal, which was down where the bus terminal now is, the major bus terminal. And it reads that the demonstration of Edison's phonograph, which besides speaking and singing, will reproduce all signals used by the Norwegian army blowing signal horns. So there was a clue. And then repeated playback, high-pitched playback, had suggested to me that there was a set of harmonics in there, and which further indicated a bugle horn. So inserting silence, anticipating thrice the sights which would match the British Library one, and doubling the speed of the British Library one to RPS, we get something that people with more knowledge about bugle horns than me says is a possibility. And at least the male voice sounds more sensible. So when I replay this in the studio and add reverb and delay to the actual sounds, you can sort of sense a horn back in there. But further browsing of the newspapers to find a review of one of the demonstrations had me reading a lot about war in Afghanistan, recession, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, until I found a short paragraph in a summary of the market events. Then there was on display a phonograph, meant to be a remarkable instrument, but it would have to be an imperfect one. At least it is not likely that anyone could have been satisfied with the way it reproduced one's voice. So, summary. The tinfoil at the Museum of Science and Technology does not contain recording of Peter Deset singing a hymn. There is, however, no reason to not believe that he actually recorded on the 5th of February at Tivoli, and we may have some fragments of his voice. It is not even likely that the first Norwegian sound recording was done in the period it was demonstrated at the market days in 1879, as a phonograph evidently had been in Norway well over half a year prior to that. Our artifact in question is, however, most likely from the 5th of February session, cut up for sale and brought into posterity when Deset presented it to the Norwegian Museum of Science and Technology in 1934. And together we brought it to life in June, 130 years later, by our joint efforts. And it is still the oldest known surviving bits of audio in Norway, and some of the oldest in the world as well. So, for those of you who really wanted to hear a horn, and to those of you who are now sound asleep, thank you.
Thank you, Lars. Thank you, John. That's it for today. Just to remind you that we have an open microphone at the end of tomorrow's session when you will be able to get your questions in and discuss all the issues that have been raised. Thank you very much to today's speakers. They've been terrific. Will you please remember to return your headsets, if you have them, before you go? And please, if you're here, would tomorrow's speakers please come forward now so that Thomas and the technicians can prepare for tomorrow's JTS session. Thank you. Have a good evening.